This is Closer to the Fire from the Voice of the Martyrs Canada, with a focus on the persecuted church around the world. I'm Greg Musselman. 10 years after the Islamic militant group Boko Haram gunman abducted his daughter from her school in the Nigerian town of Chibok, Yama Bulam feels as if he's lost his daughter once again. His daughter, Jinka Yuma, was one of 276 mostly Christian girls between the ages of 16 and 18 that were kidnapped from the secondary school on the night of April 14th, 2014 by the Islamic group. And this was a huge international story. Now, 57 of them escaped shortly afterwards. And then between 2016 and 2018, an additional 108 were either rescued by the military or released through negotiations. As of now, 91 others still remain missing. But according to a BBC report, Jinkai is one of 20 Chibok girls rescued over the last 2 years from the Boko Haram hideouts in the Sambisa Forest in northeastern Borno State. Yet her father has been outraged to discover that, like some of the other recently freed women, she has decided to remain married to one of the fighters who once held her captive. These couples are now residing in the city of Maiduguri, which is Borno's capital, and that's about 125 kilometers north of the remote town of Chibok, and they're being housed and it's being organized by the state's governor. And joining me to talk about why these girls want to stay with their captors and remain in Islam is Margaret Odinga. She is the director of Mara's House, which is a trauma center for women and girls near Jos in Plateau State, Nigeria. It's a part of Christian Faith Ministries, which is a partner of the Voice of the Martyrs Canada. We're going to talk more about Mara's House and the amazing work they're doing in just a moment. Margaret, welcome to Closer to the Fire, and nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Brother Greg. Thanks for what you're doing.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. It's amazing. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk about Mara's House in just a moment. When you look at the situation, though, with these Chibok girls, some of them have been rescued and they want to stay with the men that were actually their captors. Are you surprised by that?
No, I'm not surprised by that. You know, these Chibok girls are girls from a low or deprived financial background. They were forcefully taken away and then they've been deprived of any relationship from their families or friends. And they've been kept for a very long time. I know, not because they really want it. They've been forcefully taken away and definitely kept under threats. And eventually, they've lost their confidence in the society or the government to help them in any way. When they needed the help, it wasn't forthcoming. And they were left to just hold on to whatever fate they find. And so they had to just relax with what they had. And those were their captors who were providing them with the food, with whatever they needed. And coming out, they've already bonded with them, with their false promises, forcing them to, you know, accept Islam or otherwise maybe killed them. In fact, some of them were told were beaten or even killed. Some we don't even have their records, you know. And those who refused to accept Islam were made to serve like slaves, even in the forest with them there. So they had no option. I'm not surprised that, they are ready to remain because they already feel coming into the society who will accept them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this stigma as to they already have children who will marry them again. So they are better off with the ones that they have. You say the devil you know is better than the angel you don't know. Yeah. The government are not making any arrangement to receive them into the society. No provision is made for a better life for them. So they feel, and they are young people. They were captured as young people, no skill, no education. So they, I'm not surprised. I think they just feel that is the better. I mean, they are better off with their captors. not necessarily because they want to remain there or because they want to be Muslims.
Well, there's, you know, something that's called the Stockholm syndrome. And that really describes a psychological condition of a victim who then identifies or sympathizes with their captor or abuser. And I mean, that's after a kidnapping situation. Patty Hearst years ago, a very famous, you know, story. She was involved in some bank robberies after she had been kidnapped. So there's this psychological thing that goes on. But when we think of 10 years of being held captive, and a lot of them were 16, 18 years old when they were taken. So I guess in some ways it's not surprising, but for the families, it's got to be tragic. Well, you know, we were just talking about, you know, Brother Yuma and his daughter that was, you know, kidnapped. She returns home and doesn't really want much to do with the family. They have children. And in some of the cases, the girls say they actually love their captors. I mean, it's heartbreaking. I mean, I have three daughters and I'm thinking if that was me and that happened and my daughter, you know, didn't even really want to see me and is claiming that she now loves this person. I mean, this is for the families, Margaret, this is so tragic.
Very, very tragic. You know, these people have gone through some kinds of indoctrination, making them believe that, you know, where they were coming from is actually the wrong way, the evil way, and what they are being introduced to is a better life. And then though they go through some kind of frustration, some kind of exploitation and abuse, well, this even though they abuse them, they still come back to meet their needs, to talk them, to maybe fool them, deceive them that they love them, and that's why they're doing what they're doing to them. And they can, maybe they give them gifts, they also promise them better life and so on. So, you know, they've bought them off. And like I said, since they are helpless, already helpless and hopeless, they know their parents, they know where they are coming from, their economic background, the economic background of their parents. They know their parents cannot do any better than what those their captors are doing to them. So they just feel, I think they've just resigned to fate. They think that, well, and moreover, you know, they have children with them. The fear of being separated from their children will make them want to stay, because you find that many of them have three children, two children, and you know, and the threats, probably even the threats to them, they may be harmed, or threats to their, I mean, families. Their families may be harmed if they try to leave or whatever. You know, it's just a tragic situation. The parents can't really do much. And then moreover, the society, the government is not doing anything about it. In fact, appears to be encouraging the situation, that it's even better for them to be married to their captors than to, you know. Well, it's a Muslim community anyway, so I mean, there won't be any problem encouraging it.
Yeah. And I know one of the heartbreaking things, too, is that, you know, some of these girls are saying they've now found the true religion of Islam. And, you know, for the parents that are Christians, these girls were raised as Christians, many of them. And now they have accepted, I know it was by force at the beginning, and maybe they're saying these things, even when they're being interviewed, you know, like as an example from the BBC, which, you know, the story that we've been following here about these girls is 20 or so girls that have been rescued in the last couple of years that are now living in Maiduguri, in housing actually supported by the governor of that state, which has the parents very frustrated because it's, well, they're encouraging this now. So how do we, you know, pray about this situation, or what can be done for these girls? Now, it'd be great if we could get some of them to Mara's house, because I know you have, you know, many of the young ladies and girls have had, you know, these traumatic experiences that some of these young ladies have had, maybe not as long in terms of the 10-year period that many of these girls, the Chibok girls, have come from. But what can be done, Margaret, for them? I mean, it feels hopeless. And when I read the stories as a parent, I feel hopeless for these parents. Is what can be done? Is there anything that can be done?
Well, it's very, very, very traumatic for all of us. Very unfortunate that we sit, we watch, we hear, and we see things happen even around us. We have a problem of religious discrimination here. And the truth is, I believe that God is still in control anyway, because he owns the whole world. He knows what is going on.
Right.
But we as individuals will not relent in praying. The church now has a responsibility. The voice of the church is not really loud enough concerning these issues. The parents, you know, can't afford any financial, they don't have a financial ability to do anything about. The government just pay lip services to them, and you find out that they are not able to maybe take issues to court or do anything. But I think it is the responsibility of the church to find a way out of it. There should be freedom of religion. Our young people or even the adults should not be coerced into taking a religion they don't really or that does not really appeal to them, just because they cannot afford to maybe go to court, or maybe they don't have people in government who can rise up and speak up for them. But then I believe that, you know, only God himself can save this situation. That is, and then he can lead us and give us the wisdom to be able to help these children. We can have, if the church will rise up and do something, if we can come together, you know, in unity with one voice and declare that enough is enough.
Right.
I think something will happen.
While we will continue to pray, and you know, as you mentioned, a lot of these families are very poor. They don't have the financial means in terms of legally, but you know, the church in Nigeria does need to rise up, and churches in Canada and around the world need to support our brothers and sisters that are trying to make a difference. And I know that's something that is happening at Christian Faith Ministries with Mara's House and all that you're doing, you know, taking in children from the north and where areas where, you know, Christians have been, you know, severely persecuted. I mean, it's a difficult situation. And again, when you read an article and the story is that, you know, the girl saying, well, now I'm married, I love him, we have children, and I found the true religion. Of course, God knows the heart. And these are extreme situations that these young ladies have found themselves in, and we'll continue to pray that the Lord will, you know, rescue them, not only, you know, physically, but also, you know, emotionally and spiritually, because it's a hard, hard situation. And it's traumatic. And I remember when the story first came out, you know, 10 years ago, and some of the parents in the following weeks had actually died, probably from a broken heart. I mean, I can't imagine. And I talk about this all the time, as you know, Margaret, with the Voice of the Martyrs in churches, and talking about family members. You know, Pastor Gideon recently in Plateau State, where you live, lost his wife and five daughters. The attack that took place is being called Black Christmas. And I can't imagine what they're dealing with. And yet we know that God is still in control. We know that there's eternity to look forward to, and all this pain and suffering, you know, will eventually be gone. But in the meantime, we need to do our best to be able to help that. Now, with Mara's House, again, this is a project of the Voice of the Martyrs Canada, along with 100 Huntley Street Crossroads Christian Communications involved in. I've had the opportunity to see and meet some of the girls and the amazing work that's going on. So when we talk about what's going on with the Chibok girls and the girls that you have at Mara's House that have gone through trauma, because we want to bring hope today, Margaret, And there is hope, because there's amazing things that are happening at Mara's house with many of these girls that were forced into marriages, sexually assaulted, had children, but yet God is healing them. So let's talk about some of the amazing things that's been going on at Mara's house.
God has been doing a lot in Mara's house. This is an arm of the Christian Faith Ministries that, function as a safe place for, destitute girls who have been abused, exploited, maybe discriminated. They come in, dejected, and we help them. Generally speaking, God has been faithful. We have seen changes in their lives. We come in, they come in, and we afford them the opportunity to acquire knowledge by studying, learning to read, learning to write, and then so that they can improve in their self-confidence. Then we also require them and actually demand that they go through some vocational trainings so that they can acquire skills. This will help them to maybe have a source of income in the future. And this we expect will help to minimize the rate of poverty in their lives, because most of them are also from low economic backgrounds. And we have seen God work in their lives. We have seen them come, looking probably unhealthy, looking frustrated and tired. But over time, we see them, we see God working in their lives, helping to heal them as we share the word of God, as we come together in the trauma counseling sessions. We afford them opportunities where they can speak out, talk about their experiences, some of their pains, express themselves, the anger, whatever, give them the opportunity to actually bear out their mind, and also listen to others, the stories from others, and then know that they are not alone. Other people have also gone through certain things like them. But then God is faithful. We make sure we also discuss the word of God as we encourage them, knowing that God is the healer. He comes in to heal. Because Jesus in Luke, in his declaration, made us to understand that he has come to heal the brokenhearted. Yep. So we let them know that God himself, through his word, we put back their broken hearts that have gone into pieces together so that they can become, good people once again.
And you know what I really love about it? I mean, there's so many things that that Mara's house is doing. And I know that it came out of a need because you saw all the trauma that was happening in these girls. They're not able to function properly until those hurts are healed. But what I really love about it is the girls that come in, some of them are really broken, and there's even some behavioral issues we can understand because of things that they have gone through. But as these girls are being healed, they're then being used, for the Lord to help bring healing to others. I mean, that's just a beautiful thing, because you've got, 250 girls now and young ladies there. And then there's all the children as well. And I know it's continuing to grow, and it's, because the needs are so great. But as these girls are brought into a measure of healing, because all of us are, we're still in the process, the Lord is healing all of us.
Yeah.
But they get to a point now where they can actually be used to bring healing to others.
Yes. Yes. In fact, even within them here, you see them interacting, talking and encouraging one another. You see them helping themselves, the ones that come with maybe already pregnant, or those that have little children, maybe toddlers, you see them encouraging, helping each other, carrying babies belonging to the others. You find them, you know, even forming their small groups to discuss and encourage themselves. You find them talking about even how they can even get to others outside, those in their families, how they can reach out to them with the love that God has put in the inside of them. They tell their stories of how they used to be, maybe full of anger, full of frustrations, you know, always tired, always, you know, just unbecoming. And then you see them changing. They participate in several things we do here. They are members of different arms of the church, serving. You know, they participate even in the crusades we do. We go out to arrange in the neighboring areas. They also go out for evangelism. So as they partake in all of these activities in school, you know, you find them getting relaxed, being more confident, healing day by day. They are happier. And, God is working in them, transforming their lives on a daily basis. And this is what gives us the joy in continuing in what we are doing.
And I know it is a hard work, and you have to be very patient. You know, some of the girls, it takes them a long time. Some even may decide to leave at some point. I know you're not forcing people to become Christians. You're exposing them to the gospel. Mm-mm. Like the rest of us, they have to make that decision to follow them.
Yeah.
But one of the young girls that I met a number of years ago, about 5 years ago, and we called her Lena. That's not her real name. In the original interview, I had to hide her face. We can now show her face, but we're not using a real name. And, you know, she's just had an incredible ordeal in her life. But I've had a chance now to meet her a couple of times. She's just real special to me and her little daughter, Kauna. We're going to come back to, and we're going to pray in a moment too, because that's the most important thing we can do. But let's first hear Lena's story, and Margaret, you're in that story as well, talking about, you know, not only Lena's story, but also Mara's house. So here's that report. This little girl is learning a valuable lesson about overcoming fear and how to trust someone will be there to catch her, even if it's just a slide. Overcoming fear is something her mother, Lena, not her real name, has had to do most of her life, starting at 12 when she was forced by her strict Muslim father to be married to a man more than three times her age.
It was hard. I really didn't love him. And my tradition, it's very bad to disrespect the wish of a parent. I was just there because my father said so. And I know if I leave, he will be upset.
But a year later, she did leave and became interested in Christianity. When her father found out, he beat her and threatened her life. Still, she decided to follow Jesus, and the persecution got worse. A pastor told her about Christian Faith Ministries, a refuge for women and girls who have suffered abuse and persecution for their faith in Jesus. Lena is now living in Mara's house, located on the grounds of Christian Faith Ministries in Nigeria's Plateau State, a hotspot for Christian persecution and terrorist attacks. And that's where I first met Lena in 2018. At the time, she had to hide her face so she could share her story. 4 years later, Crossroads Cares and the Voice of the Martyrs Canada have partnered to build the second floor of Mara's house. Today, Lena is at home, quite literally, along with more than 200 young women who share some of the same trauma.
It's a place where they come in and they see it as where God is wiping off their tears and is restoring them.
giving them joy and happiness, helping them to recover from the hurts, pains, abuses they've gone through. They are able to recuperate and, mingle with other people. It's a safe place where their needs are being met.
Their needs are many: food, shelter, healthcare, education, and especially counseling. Many women here are also mothers. Lena was raped and became pregnant when she tried to go back to her village several years ago. Mara's house was once again there as a refuge in her time of need.
It's a big task though, but with the help of God, we try to make them, to teach them the basic learning, training that they need to know, that now they are mothers, you know, they need to behave well. They need to know how to take care of themselves. We teach them how to take care of themselves and equally how to take care of their babies.
That includes learning a trade. Lena already picked up tailoring, but has even bigger dreams of becoming a lawyer.
Okay, ina so in zama lawyer don. Ina gani yanzu a rayuwa na ku kuma ince a Nigeria gaba daya.
I want to become a lawyer in the future, because I realize there are so many people who are passing through the same situation that I am, and they don't have anyone to defend them.
Your contribution to Crossroads Cares has helped create a safe space for more than 230 women and their children. But there's still work to do. As incidents of violence and persecution increases, more women than ever are coming through their doors, and they need our help to serve them.
It's a huge thing to us, and we are very, very grateful. We can't express our gratitude to those who have, you know, sacrificially given to us to have Mara House today. We are very grateful. It's quite exciting to us.
Lena doesn't think she'll ever be able to go home again, but she's doing all she can to make sure her daughter's future will be better. She named her daughter Kauna, which means love, something she's getting plenty of through her faith in Jesus and the family he has provided for her at Mara's house. Well, it's a great privilege for us at the Voice of the Martyrs to be partnering with Christian Faith Ministries and Mara's house near Jos in Plateau State, Nigeria. Lena, just one of the many stories, dozens and dozens of these young ladies, women whose lives have been transformed, and as a result, the children. And they may have come out of very negative circumstances as these girls were assaulted, but they're now being educated. It's just a wonderful thing. And again, the needs are so great. And I know sometimes when I'm talking, Margaret, even in churches, people say, well, there's so many die, so many are kidnapped. There's all these things. What can we do? Well, we help them one at a time. And in the case at Christian Faith Ministries at Mara's house, dozens and dozens are being helped, and some have even gone back into their communities and are, you know, sharing the gospel and the love of Jesus and helping people. So it's quite an amazing thing. Is that what keeps you going then, Margaret? Because I know it's a hard work for you and your team, a lot of challenges, but there's people like Lena, and that's not a real name, but that you have seen this transformation take place.
Yeah, sure. This is what keeps us going. The joy of seeing God transforming lives on a daily basis, knowing from where they began, how they came in, you know, and even their story. Seeing them today different, relaxed, happy, and even risking their lives to take the gospel back to their families, which the girl being spoken about tried to do. She went back to express God's love that she has found via her encounter here with God, but she got arrested again by her family. They locked her up, beat her up, and didn't want her to come back here, you know. But she still stood her ground, and told her parents that she had already made her decision to serve Jesus and made him her Lord and Master of her life. And that whatever, she was ready to go through whatever thing they would put her through, but she wouldn't change her mind. She was left without food for about 3 days and locked up until somebody, I think one of is it her brother or so, was able to source for a little money and give her, and she ran out maybe in the middle of the night, at night, to be able to get herself back to this place.
She had prayed that the Lord would wake her up in the middle of the night so she could escape.
Yes.
And I know that you and the team down there said, you shouldn't be going. Yeah, we appreciate you wanting to share the message, but it's dangerous for you. And they actually wanted her to bring little Kauna with her. And you guys said, absolutely not, because the family then, they wanted to take the little child who's now four and eventually convert the child to Islam. So again, there's the zeal that we also have to, you teach, and we've all had to learn that, right, Margaret? But it was just not the time. And I know that she mentioned in that report, wants to be a lawyer. And so, yeah, I mean, I know that's hard when you see these young ladies leave. Again, you want them to share the message of Jesus, but you also want to keep them safe as well. But as you mentioned, though, it's there are those that have gone back and they are seeing good results, and as they continue to share God's love.
They've been faithful. They've remained resilient, preaching the gospel. And we're very proud about, and we're very proud of them and about what they are doing and what they represent. And this is exactly what keeps us going. And we don't get tired each time, you know, we know that God is doing something and is encouraging us to do more. We're so grateful to you for giving us Mara, and it's affording us to bring in people on a daily basis. People come in, they learn, they appreciate, they tell us about their testimonies, what God is doing in their lives, changing them from, you know, changing them into better people. What they never thought they could be, they are today. And God is still working in their lives. We're so happy. And we'll continue to serve God in whatever capacity we are privileged to.
Well, it's a privilege for us to, you know, work with you, Sister Margaret, and, you know, Kent and Ruth and Gabriel and Paul and the whole team at Christian Faith Ministries. You're making a huge, huge difference. And I know the needs are great. There's always financial challenges with a ministry that's gotten so large at Christian Faith Ministries, that includes vocational training, as you mentioned. There's a hospital, there's a school, a Bible school with somewhere around 1,500 students. The need is great, and I know that you never want to say no to anybody. Again, you're going out in faith and believing that God will supply the resources. But that's incumbent upon the rest of us, you know, around the world, to be able to support what you're already doing. I'm going to put Christian Faith Ministries web information on the episode notes, and also the report that we did on Maurer's House. People want to find more about that because it is an amazing work, so needed, so important. And we're going to continue to pray for the work there in Plateau State, right through Nigeria, and all the things that are going on there. Of course, we'll continue to remember the Chibok girls and the situation, because there's still dozens of them that are being held captive. But before we go, Margaret, can you lead us in prayer as the Holy Spirit leads you? You know, certainly we want to pray for the Chibok girls. What is happening in your country? Because, again, the daily reports of more of these attacks that are taking place. So can you lead us in prayer?
Yes, sir. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Because, God, you are indeed a faithful God. We honor and glorify your name, because you are a wonderful Father. Thank you, Jehovah God, for what you are doing in us and through us. We bless you, Jehovah God, for how you have touched lives and you are touching them every day and every moment. We give you all the glory, Lord, for your love that knows no bounds. Blessed be your name. Father, we want to ask this day, even concerning young girls and even young men that are being traumatized, especially, Father Lord, in this country, even so the Chibok girls, Lord, we know what they are going through. And we know, Father Lord, you are a faithful God. You own the whole world. You know them one by one. You know what they are going through. Jehovah, we know that, Lord, even in suffering, you are there. Mm-hmm. We know that, Lord, even in this situation, you are still doing your work. Even as they profess with their mouth, Lord, that they've chosen to be Muslims, we know, Father, the seed that has been sown in their hearts is still growing.
Yes, Lord.
And I know, Jehovah, all things work out for good to those that love you and are called according to your purpose. These children, Father, will be delivered and they will fulfill their purpose that you have purposed for them in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Father, we bless you. We give you all the glory. All that you are doing, Father, in Mara. All that you are doing in Christian Faith Ministries. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Father, Lord God, even for our partners, our lovers, and our helpers. Thank you for your provisions through them. We give you all the honor and the glory. Blessed be your name, Father, because we know you are yet to do all that you intend to do for us. We look up to you, Father, because we know you will fulfill. And all glory shall be to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we pray and ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. And let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for Sister Margaret and the team at Mara's House Christian Faith Ministries. Father, I know it is a hard work, and I've been privileged to see it firsthand and how you have worked in that ministry and the changed lives. It's remarkable and it's amazing. The joy that we feel when we see how you are working. And yet there's so many challenges, financial challenges. There's always the risk of violence and all these things. Father, I just pray that you will, as you have for decades now, met the needs of Christian Faith Ministries, that you will continue to do that. And I know you will, but tug upon our hearts, Lord, and how we can help even more. Thank you for the privilege we've had at Voice of the Martyrs Canada to be able to work with such amazing people and to see what they're doing for the kingdom. Lord, I just ask that you would be with Sister Margaret, continue to give her strength and give her good health, Lord, and continued vision and strength. I know that times we get weary, and yet, Lord, you give us that strength. And we call upon you, we wait upon you, Lord, for the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. So I just pray you just fill her again today, Lord, and the team and all that you're doing. I also want to pray for the Chibok girls. And it's heartbreaking to hear these stories of even the ones that have escaped, and sometimes they're not even welcome back into their community because of the stigma of having children from these Boko Haram fighters. Lord, I pray for a softening of the heart, even in the Church of Nigeria, to accept them back. And for those girls that are in these situations and want to stay in them, I pray, Lord, just continue to work with them, and for the moms and dads that their children were kidnapped and now they don't want to come home and they want to remain as Muslim. Lord, you know all these situations. And so we just lift them up to you and thank you, Lord, that we can serve you even in the midst of darkness. We want to bring the light of Jesus, and we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret Odinga, so good to see you again. I look forward to being back at Mara's House Christian Faith Ministries and the amazing work that you're doing. And so I just so appreciate you. So thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, Brother Greg. Thank you, the Voice of Mata. God bless you. We are really privileged to have you working with us. And we really appreciate greatly all that you've done. God bless you.
God bless you, and the privilege is mutual. It's one of the things I love about being a part of the body of Christ is that we have partnerships, friendships, and family, literally, all over the world. from Canada to Nigeria and many other places. So again, thank you, Margaret Odinga. And as you're watching and listening to this podcast, if I could ask you to give us a review or rate it, it will help more people find the podcast and also to share it with a friend. And again, always what we say at the end of each program, and this is so true when it comes to Nigeria, the closer you are to Jesus, the closer you are to the fire.